Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we've got an hour filled with all kinds of good things for you today. And one of the factors of life is that we have to acknowledge personal responsibility about being able to be creators and innovators for our own lives and our own well-being. Well, Doreen Banaszak, who is my guest today, her wonderful book is called Excuse Me, Your Life Is Now. Doreen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna, for having me.
Well, it's an absolute delight, and I know that this book came about because of a very special person that you knew very well that had a deep impact on your life, but I want my people to know a little bit more about you, Doreen. You're a teacher, an author, and a coach who, after 15 years in a very successful corporate career, you decided you were going to create your life the way you wanted it to be, and also a business that you really wanted to be involved with. So you became a coach to help people understand the law of attraction and many, many other things.
Absolutely.
Lynn Grabhorn was a very special person in your life. How is it that you became aware of Lynn and her original publication, Excuse Me, Your Life Is Waiting, which, by the way, I interviewed Lynn.
Oh, wonderful.
And she was a guest on a couple of my shows.
Great.
And I so enjoyed her material. But here we've got your book that you've put together, and she was your inspiration. Tell us about the connection between the two of you.
Well, it's very interesting because I actually never met Lynn. And I actually found out about Lynn after she passed away. But what happened was I was kind of going through, well, I had read her book several years prior to my kind of understanding the law of attraction. And when I read her book, I was like, oh, this is very interesting because this is what I'm really helping my clients do, but I didn't know there was a principle out there, you know, that really, that says this is how life works. But I was helping my clients get clear, be willing to follow and pursue what they wanted versus what they think they should do. And when I read her book initially, I was like, oh, wow, so there's a whole law of attraction thing about this. And I went on to read other books and gain more knowledge and try to apply the principles in my life. And then a couple years later, I got into a situation in my life where things, I was just creating a big, fat mess, you know. And it was all around me, and I was, you know, just at this point of, well, you know, what am I going to do here? And I went back and I started, you know, I'm an avid reader. And so I picked her book up again and I read it and I'm like, all right, I'm going to try this, really try this, because obviously this is a point in my life where something's got to work. And when I did that, what I had been doing was a lot of stuff that I didn't enjoy doing, and therefore my state of being was resentment, and I was basically expanding opportunities to resent. So I wasn't getting business. My business wasn't going anywhere. And here I was trying to coach other people on doing this stuff. And I reread her book, and I said, oh, I'm going to try this. So I'm going to be willing to put my attention on only doing those things that I do want to do, in terms of, especially when it came to marketing. Because I was doing all the things the experts told me to do, and it felt very uncomfortable, and I wasn't enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
So I made a commitment, you know, and I set my intention. And my intention simply was, I want to put myself in front of my ideal clients so that they'll work with me. And I didn't know how it was going to happen, didn't know how it was going to work. But according to Lynn's principles, you set your intention, you get clear on what you don't want. I didn't want the mess anymore. Got clear on what I wanted. I wanted to put myself in front of my ideal clients so they'd work with me. Get into the feeling place. Part of that is being willing to commit to only doing those things that feel good and having faith that they're going to work, and then allow it to come in. And so one of the things I enjoy doing were book groups. And I would take a book like Lynn's book and go through it with a group of folks, but over a period of time, not just in one night, so that people could actually practically apply the principles, but come back to a group and talk about what they were challenged by and get support. And I thought, okay, well, I typically like to give authors a heads up that I'm going to be using their material. And I don't really need their permission because I'm selling their books, but still. So I went to Lynn's site and found out she had passed away. And when I found that out, I was kind of inspired. I didn't have to go any further, but I was kind of inspired just to touch base with the publisher. And I told him how much I'd enjoyed her work and that I'd like to do a book group. And I didn't hear anything back for about a month. And then a month later, I got an email saying, well, you know, the book group is great, but we're really looking for somebody to take over her seminars. I said, well, that's interesting, because I'm interested in her work, and I know I'm doing it, and, you know, my work is very much in alignment with her work, but I didn't know, again, if I wanted to take on somebody else's mantle and run with it, or, you know, stick with my own that I was enjoying finally. But I said, it's worth a conversation. So I went down to meet with a publisher, and we were talking about seminars, and then during that meeting, the CEO turned to me and said, you know, we're thinking about writing a follow-up book, probably just inspirational stories on Lynn's work. Would you be interested in writing it? And, you know, it's like I almost fell off my chair because guess what? That was an opportunity to put myself in front of my ideal clients so that they'd work with me. And I couldn't have planned it to save my life. And so I write in the book that I just heard this voice say, just say yes. We'll figure it all out later. And I did. And then as I was writing the book, I said, you know what? This is Lynn's material, but through my work, it seems like as though I've expanded these understandings. So I wanted to put that in the book, and I wanted to answer people's questions that they had. They read Lynn's book. She had such a huge following, and well-deserved, because she was so straightforward. She made it so simple. She dusted off a metaphysical principle and made it appealing to people in a very practical way. And so as I started writing the book and talking to people, I got inspirational stories, but I got a lot of questions. And the biggest one was, how do I become consistent with this? A lot of people thought they were on a roller coaster. So the book takes on that challenge, and it answers some questions, and it has inspiring stories. But Lynn inspired me in that there I was doing the work, didn't know it had a principle, and out of all the work I've studied on the law of attraction, her book was very clear, very concise, which is like what I like to be with folks too. So I saw a lot of synergies between us. And so through her inspiration, we just kind of expanded it. And, you know, maybe if she was here still, she would have gone in the same direction. Who knows?
Well, I think what's important is that her work is being carried forward.
Yeah.
And you ended up taking on the mantle that she left behind for someone else to pick up. I want to take a quote that is from Lynn's book, and you have it. And your chapter about what are creation principles, and I loved it. And this is what Lynn Grabhorn said in her book, Excuse Me, Your Life is Waiting, and your book, Doreen, is Excuse Me, Your Life is Now, which is an expansion on what Lynn started out with. But this is what Lynn said. We came here with a guaranteed freedom of choice mandated by the very nature of our existence. The time has come for us to exercise that birthright. We are caught in no one's web. We are bound by no circumstance. We are victims to no conditions. Rather, we are beings who possess the sacred ability to implement any outlandish desire our limitless minds can concoct, for we possess unregulated, unrestricted, uncontested freedom of choice, no matter what those choices may be. That is such a powerful statement acknowledging the greatness that every single human being on the face of this planet has, and the right to screw up or fly like an eagle is entirely our choice.
Absolutely. And either way, you know, I think what I've definitely, through my coaching and my own experience, what I've definitely learned is that accepting whether we quote-unquote think we've screwed up or we're flying like an eagle, complete acceptance of those two things as fine, as it's okay. Because what I've definitely found with my own journey and with working with clients is that we get so stuck on personalizing our circumstances that we can't move. And by the law of attraction, we're only attracting more of the same stuff. So the acceptance of, you know, I'm using this principle, I'm conscious of it, being aware and recognizing that we are, whether we think we're screwing up or whether we think we're flying like an eagle, it's all okay. And there's so much power in that.
That is so important. Being conscious, I think, is, it took me a long time to really get to that point of acknowledgement. I can't speak for anybody else, but wait a minute. If you don't want something ugly in your life, change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like watching television. You can sit there like a zombie and watch people being butchered right and left, or you can watch a Chuck cooking show, or you can watch something about the volcanoes on the other side of the world, or you can turn the thing off if you want and go read the book of your choice.
Mm-hmm.
You are able to make these choices, and for so many generations, and even today it goes on, there is this bombardment that, no, you don't have as much choice as you think you have. There's always someone else that's at fault, or there's something else that is at fault. The aspect of personal responsibility, I mean, it seems like just about every week I have a conversation along these lines with someone. Personal responsibility is a very big conscious awareness, isn't it?
It really is. And I think there's such a stigma around the word responsibility. If I, you know, if I say I'm responsible for something, then I have to own up to it, or I'll be judged for it. And I think that's just, you know, we're using words to describe a state of being. And a state of being of freedom is knowing that you're completely responsible. But using that word can really, you know, get people's, you know, the hair raised on people's necks.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it brings in this notion of fault. I'm at fault. So a lot of people will say, well, why would I create the loss of my job?
Mm-hmm.
And what I invite people to understand is that they're not actually creating the circumstance. That's our creation partner's job. The creation partner delivers the circumstance. What we are creating is we are expanding opportunities to experience more of our current state of being. So if our current state of being is, I resent going to my job, I hate going to my job, our state of being is resentment, our state of being is frustration, and we find ourselves in this job, and then all of a sudden we get fired and we wonder why. Well, our state of being was resentment and fear, and now we've just been fired, so we've just expanded our fear. So it's not the circumstance necessarily, and that's what I think people get caught up in. I'm not taking responsibility for losing my job. I got fired, or you know, I got laid off. That's not my fault. See, again, that notion of judgment. And what we really want to understand is, if cause is our state of being, if their state of being is the cause of what opportunities we experience, then keeping our attention on our state of being is the most valuable place. Because that's what's creating. That's the only thing that's creating. You know, so for example, there I was doing all the things the marketing experts were telling me to do, and I was doing, and what was I getting? No results. Why? Because my state of being was resentment. It didn't matter what I was doing. I was only expanding opportunities to resent. So understanding that if state of being is cause, then we have complete responsibility for our state of being, it's the only thing really, if you think about it, we have control over, right? We simply have to be willing to put our attention on it and choose it. That's our power. All the judgment goes right out the window. It's the realization of, oh my God, I've always already had all that I thought I wanted. Because what do we want? It's not the car we want. It's the experience ourselves driving the car that we want. Well, guess what? We can experience that right now. And that's why the book is titled Now, instead of waiting for this and thinking that you need anything outside of you in order to experience yourself the way you want to right now.
So, yes. I loved your story about how everything is unfolding perfectly for you right now, and the experience with doing the experiment with a free cup of coffee.
Mm.
Now, you've got to share that with my audience, because I thought that was a hoot.
Well, I had put my attention on having a free cup of coffee, and I did kind of what the, you know, the secret is, of, you know, an interesting movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of played that visualization, which I don't typically do. I typically just pay attention to my state of being. Well, I visualized my cup of coffee, and then I got my attention back on my state of being, which was peace and freedom. And I went into my coffee shop, the one that I go into every day pretty much. They gave me my coffee, and I went back to the car, and the lid wasn't on tightly, and I got into the car, and the coffee just exploded all over me. So it was all over my clothes, all over the car. And so I had a choice in that moment. My choice was my state of being, you know, I paid attention. I was aware my state of being shifted a little bit. It was like, boom, you know, all of a sudden I'm like, ooh, wait, you know. My state of being slipped out of peace and freedom and went into, ouch, you know, fear, you know, experiencing something here. But I was willing to accept what I was experiencing, and that acceptance put me right back into peace. And I walked in, and I just said, you know, granted, you know, they didn't put the lid on right. Could have gone in there. I could have yelled. I could have said, I can't believe this. Like, you're going to pay for my clothes, all that stuff. But I went in there. I just said, hey, you know, this the coffee spilled. The lid wasn't on tight enough. Would you mind just, you know, making me another cup of coffee, and I'm going to go in the bathroom and clean myself up? And they were like, oh, yes, yes, of course. And I came back out, and they gave me my cup of coffee and a coupon for a free cup of coffee. So what dawned on me in that moment was, because I was willing to maintain my state of being, you know, if I had gone in there and started screaming at them, do you think they would have given me a free cup of coffee?
I don't think so.
No. I wouldn't. You know, because so then, you know, my state of being of peace and freedom, being in that state of being, expanded the opportunity to experience more of that, which included the cup of coffee I thought would bring me more of that. And it did. So it's just so valuable for us to keep our attention on our state of being. And that comes to anything. And that's where I think the consciousness and the awareness comes in. It's not so much trying to track our thoughts, because God knows you try to track your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And then your thoughts start tracking you.
Right.
You know, don't think of a pink elephant.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to think of a pink elephant. But it's the awareness of your state of being. What am I experiencing right now? I'm experiencing fear. That's okay. It's the judgment. It's not the fact that we're experiencing fear. We judge it.
Let's talk about scripting for a minute. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt
you. No, go ahead.
But let's talk about scripting, because I know everyone who's listening to us right at this moment is saying to themselves, it can't be that easy. I have so many things. I've got bills hanging over my head. I have been looking for a job for a year. I don't have anything. I'm in debt up to my eyeballs. I want to get rid of that. My kids, I've got to put them through college. I just, you know, all of these things that come into people's minds. We've all gone through it. We all go through it. I mean, this is, on one level or another, we're always going to have challenges. That's what life is all about.
Mm-hmm.
It's about living and growing through our experiences. Tell us about scripting and how you have used scripting to assist not just yourself, but other people to bring results into their lives that they really want.
Sure. Scripting, well, what I like to just kind of say as a caveat right up front is that when we look at anything, a lot of us look outside of ourselves for the solution. Scripting is going to bring me what I want, right? So now we have a need for scripting to do something, right? And when we have a need, our state of being is need. And we are expanding more opportunities to need. So what I like to invite people to do with any tool, because it's all, they're all tools, including myself, I'm a tool, is to be willing to know that they already are the solution. And, you know, they don't have to, you know, they just be willing to consider that they could be the solution and that everything else is a tool that is meant to expand that solution. Okay?
Right.
So when we look at any tool coming, it's our perspective about it, it's our state of being about it that's going to drive the result. So now if scripting is a tool, then I don't need it to do anything for me. Now I can just experience it. Okay? If our state of being is need, we're only going to expand need. So I just want to throw that out, and that probably would take a lot more explanation and for people to get their heads around, but at least throw it out there and maybe people can play with it. But scripting as a tool, the reason I invite people to script, and I only invite people to script if they want to script. Again, if they sit down and they feel frustration and resentment, I don't want them scripting because they're only expanding frustration and resentment. So if somebody can sit down and think of this as a tool that they don't need anything from, and their state of being when they sit down is free and calm and peaceful, then it's an opportunity to identify and get honest about what we really want, not what we think we should want. I have an example of myself in there when somebody sat down with me in college and said, what do you want? And I want $1 million by the time I'm 30. Did I really care about having $1 million by the time I was 30? No. That was all, that was my mother, that was, you know, all these people
right.
that told me I should have $1 million by the time
mm-hmm.
I was 30. It wasn't me. So it gives us an opportunity to start to understand what it is we really want. And as we're writing the script, what happens is our state of being shifts. And being willing to be aware of the state of being allows you to know if it's true for you or not. So it gets us down to what we really want. Then once we have the script about what we really want, then the next expansion of that is to understand what we, how we would experience ourselves when we had all those things that we say we want in the script. What would our state of being be? I would be free. I would be happy. I would be connected to my family. I would, you know, all those kind of, I would be joyful. I would have fun. I would be, life would be an adventure. Well, those are all states of being. So how does the law of attraction work? Spirit becomes what it wants to create. So how do you become like the trip to Italy? You be adventurous right now. How do you become like a pile of money? Everybody says it brings them freedom. You get into a state of being of freedom right now. You realize that you don't want, you ultimately don't want those things. You ultimately want the experience of yourself when you have those things. And obviously, if you're writing your script and you're feeling those things, guess what? You've already got what you ultimately want right now.
You make a comment in your book that Lynn stated early on that you needed to switch focus. And we're going to come a little bit we're going to come full circle, actually, because you said you have to be present now, N-O-W, now. So that means paying attention to what's going on now. And just with what you've discussed, it's a very good statement about how we create our future by what we do now. And Lynn says if we find ourselves focusing on, oh, gee whiz, I can't afford that, oh, my God, I can't do that, or even letting the words come out of your mouth, it's like switch.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose your words. You can switch your thinking. And she also suggests about talking out loud, and I have to say that's so easy. All you have to do is pretend you have a cell phone on your ear and, you know, put something in your ear to fake it. You could talk out loud, and nobody's going to think you're crazy.
I know, seriously. We used to.
You know what? I can really afford that. Yes, you're right.
Go ahead and buy it.
That's right. Yeah,
charge it.
Can we put it on our Express card? I don't know.
That's perfect.
So this is something, it's okay to talk. And one of the things, I don't know how you would feel about this, but you sometimes have to be very careful about who you share your desires with. And that can go for a spouse, a girlfriend, or anybody, because there are those people that will say to you, well, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens? It's poof. Your desire, your belief, your want suddenly goes into the realm of, well, that's not real. Well, if it's something somebody really, really wants from the bottom of their heart, it is real. So I think, and I don't know how you feel about this, but I think we have to be discriminating. We have to know about those people that we can talk with. If we want to talk with someone, or if you're working with someone, you know, to help you achieve your goals or your aims, what's your positioning on that?
I do agree with that. And then as people start understanding this principle, start practically applying it, their awareness expands, then I invite people to consider that they don't, you know, I'm willing to consider I don't need my mother to agree with me in order to have what I want. Because what I want for people is to drop the need. It's the need that causes the frustration and the pain and the sadness, and you know, and the fact that other people, we think we need something outside of us. So, for example, a person may think that they need their mother's approval in order to have what they want. Well, and so they're not going to want to tell their mother about it. You're absolutely right. Why would I want my mother to shoot down my dreams? She always shoots down my dreams. Why would I want that? But for their own personal freedom to get to the point of dropping that need, I don't need my mother to agree with me in order to have what I want right now. That shifts their, that frees them from the need, frees them from holding back anything in the moment with their mother, and expands the relationship. So I think there's absolutely a time where we're starting out with this stuff. First of all, it's metaphysical, and people might think we're weird trying it, and, you know, absolutely, there's a little bit of self-protection until we play with this. Why? Because we've been unconscious for so long. Getting conscious is a little scary.
Yes.
You know, you start looking around, you start realizing these people, I'm not loving these people, and they're not loving me, you know, if they're going to shoot down my dreams, and if I can't tell them what my dreams are. But in that moment, when you're first starting out, absolutely, I think, you know, people are discriminating by nature. But then I really want for them to get to the place where they understand they don't have to need anything to be different in order for them to have what they want right now, because that's pure freedom. So, yeah, I think it's just an expansion again.
Trusting ourselves.
Mm.
Oh, my goodness.
Huge, huh?
It is incredibly huge. I think one of the biggest steps we take in becoming our own individual self, not just loving ourselves and appreciating who we are and respecting it, but trusting who we are.
Mm.
We don't have to have somebody else's approval. Believing in ourselves, having that self-trust just
yep.
does wonders for self-esteem and self-confidence. I think your book is such a fabulous follow-up to Lynn Rebhorn's book, Excuse Me, Your Life Is Now, Mastering the Law of Attraction. Doreen, you've done a wonderful, wonderful job. Now, is there a website people can go to get this book?
Yes, absolutely. They can go to my website. It's actually the title of the book, www.excusemeyourlifeisnow.com. And no hyphens, no commas, just a run-on of letters. But it's the title of the book, excusemeyourlifeisnow.com.
Doreen Banizak, a
yes.
lady that has picked up the mantle of a woman, Lynn Rebhorn, whom I had had on my show before. I have a tremendous amount of admiration and respect for. Excuse Me, Your Life Is Now is a wonderful complement to that book. But more than that, it is a hands-on, do-it-yourself kind of a journey that you get to choose to experience, and you can write your own script. Doreen's done a wonderful job with this. Doreen's last name is spelled B like boy, A, N like Nelly, A, S like Sam, Z like zebra, A, K. Banizak, her website is excusemeyourlifeisnow.com. Go visit it. Take charge of who you are. This is something that you will refer to more than once. It'll become one of your best friends in your library for always, creating your own life. It's a wonderful book. Doreen, thank you for being my guest.
Thank you so much for having me, Donna.
It's been a pleasure. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break in just a moment, and those phone lines will be open again. Excuse Me, Your Life Is Now, Doreen Banizak. And go to her website, Excuse Me, Your Life Is Now, so you can find out more information about this woman who has picked up the mantle of another person who has passed on in life and is carrying the message forward in a wonderful, wonderful way. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open, and if you'd like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, I'd be delighted to do exactly that. Here in the U.S., the telephone number to call is 877-877-876-5227. If you want to call in from Canada, the telephone number toll-free is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. All I need from you is your first name or your initial. Then let me, after we answer that phone line, let me give you my mental impressions, and then you can ask me a question about anything that you like. Well, I don't know about you, but there is so much going on during this time of the year. When we enter into fall and being in the Pacific Northwest, gee whiz, the trees are turning color. So many of the summer plants are beginning to fade out and away. And so every once in a while, you'll see splashes of color in unexpected places as Mother Nature is going through her transition towards winter. This has always been my favorite time of the year. And activity with wildlife, gee, there's so much that's going on. There, you just have to keep your eyes open. Everything from watching the squirrels, you know, just following the highways that they follow in the trees and the branches, to being able to watch the migration of Canadian geese or other types of bird species that are going south to warmer temperatures. There's just so much liveliness in nature. And so I have some tips. If you enjoy nature, these are some tips that I came across for wildlife viewing. And there's many people who are still traveling, like up to Alaska, to different areas of country where they see different types of critters out wandering around. If you are interested in really observing wildlife in any particular area that you might be visiting, try to find out about guidebooks that talk about the different types of wildlife. And if they have photos in them or it can help you identify things, it really makes it a very, very interesting experience. Not only that, but for kids, it's just marvelous because it gives them something to look for. Whether you're driving, maybe you're on a train where it's a little bit more relaxed environment, there's just so much you can do. I can remember when we had the opportunity, my husband and myself, when we were up there and we were in Alaska, we were just in awe of what we were able to see from a helicopter, or not a helicopter, it was a bush plane. And we had friends that had gone up in a helicopter and they didn't see anything. Well, in this bush plane, we were able to see so many different animals and see aspects of their environment that we otherwise wouldn't have been able to experience on the ground. So you just never know what you're going to have a chance to view and see. So if you have a guidebook, you'll be able to identify them. And there's just all kinds. Go to your library. Your librarian will be able to give you all kinds of recommendations on that. And if you belong to a travel club, they also can have good recommendations. And keep in mind, early morning hours and evening are the best time to view wildlife activity. That's when the animals are more active. And you can see them during the day, but I know here in the Pacific Northwest, we have a number of different parks that have wild animals, and they're set up in such a way that you are the visitor to the environment. And when you go early in the morning, and I learned this years ago, but when you go early in the morning, there is so much that's going on. Whether you're wanting to watch buffalo or elk or bear or moose, it doesn't make any difference. They're out, they're feeding, they're moving around. And sometimes you might want to keep a record on what you've seen, and this is a good activity for kids, too, when you're traveling, especially by car, or, you know, it just gives them something to do. Make a list of the animals that they've seen, and it can give you all kinds of opportunity for some interesting conversation with people when you meet them. And when you're out in the wild environment, remember, silence is golden. You don't want to slam car doors. Don't have blaring stereos. You want to talk in low tones. And you want to just sort of be thoughtful about the noise that you're making, because if you are noisy and you're out and observing, you're going to find the critters are just going to take off. They're not going to stay around. Also, keep in mind, if you're going to be out and about in a wild environment, don't feed the animals, bears especially. We've heard so many stories as we've traveled, my husband and I, to different areas of the country, that people have caused a lot of problems by not realizing what they're doing. Well, if ever you have a chance to go to Kodiak, Alaska, which is an environment where the bears are respected before people, you learn very, very quickly you just don't leave anything out for the animals to feed on. When you go into an area, it must be just as pristine as when you entered it. When you leave, you have to pick up and make sure that everything is taken out. So it's a good rule of thumb whenever you're going to be out visiting in the wild to remember that. And you want to remember, wild animals are wild animals. Their rules are different. They don't sit and watch television. This is something, they are out there, they're foraging in life, they have their world, and we need to respect it. And you shouldn't approach bears, deer, elk, coyotes, raccoons, rattlesnakes, or any kind of creature, because they can be carriers for different things, but more than that, they don't know you, and they may feel like they've got to defend their territory, and they will attract you. On one trip that we took, one year, we went to Yellowstone, and as we drove around the park, which is an absolutely phenomenal experience, we stopped in this one area, and the elk herds were down in this area of the park, and people were trying to walk up to these wild elk to pet them. And, of course, the rangers were getting a lot of white hair because they were trying to keep them away from the animals. They said, look, These female elk, they have young with them. They're going to kick you. And you don't want to lose a leg. I mean, if you get kicked by one of these animals or rammed by them, you're going to be feeling like you've been hit by a German tank. So you don't want to do that. And we talked with a ranger, and the ranger said, I can't believe how naive and how stupidly people act around wild animals. They think that they're like Disney characters and they can just walk up to them and nothing's going to happen. And they were on guard constantly trying to keep people away from these herds. And the rangers would say, you're in their territory. This is their territory. It is not yours. You're a visitor in the territory. So that's something you need to keep in mind. But wow, it's a great experience. And you know what? Lots of times you don't think much is going on in your own neighborhood, but there is so much that is occurring out in your own backyard. If you'll just take the time to observe, it can be a marvelous, marvelous experience for you. And with fall of the year, there are so many different critters out there doing so much activity as they're preparing for winter. It really can be quite entertaining. We've watched the raccoons in our neighborhood, and they are really something to see. It is amazing. The squirrels, all kinds of different animals. So take the time to view nature. Just be still, watch, look, and listen. And I think it can have such a wonderful, wonderful impact on you. And you know what? It makes you realize sometimes that you should really appreciate what's around you. And maybe do a little bit of reading, too, about how people used to live and what they used to have to put up with that we don't have to put up with in today's world. It's really exciting. This is Donna Siebel. Telephone lines are open, 877-876-5227 for the U.S. Canada, 888-815-9756. Let's go to our first caller today. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hello, dear. I can hear you.
Yes, my name is Elaine. I'm calling from Wayne, New Jersey.
Where in New Jersey?
Wayne,
New Jersey. Well, welcome. I imagine the trees are turning out where you are, Elaine.
Yes, they are. I'm calling about my mother who had passed on. I'd like to know if she sends me any signs that she's around me.
Well, Elaine, when I'm looking at this, when you're asking me about it, I do believe that your mother will bring something to your attention, but I don't know that it's going to be in the way that you would expect. And if you are wanting to have your mother bring some kind of recognition or awareness to you of her presence, ask her to do that, and then pay attention to what happens. Sometimes people like to be aware of something specifically, and it's not always possible for the person that's passed on to do exactly what they want. Sometimes that individual that passes on will do it in their own way. Let me give you an example. I had a client many years ago who said she was experiencing something in her bedroom, and it was a particular fragrance. Now, when we were talking about it, I became very much aware of her mother, and one of her mother's favorite flowers was a rose. It was a particular type of rose, and a very sweet, sweet smelling. And I said to the young woman, I said, what you might want to ask yourself is, what does this remind you of? And she said, well, it reminds me of a flower of some kind. I said, was the rose, is this like the fragrance of a rose? And she said, yes. And I said, well, I think that's your mom. And she said, oh, for heaven's sakes, I would never have thought that she would have tried to communicate with me with a fragrance. And many times, there are situations like that that can occur. Or there might be something like a book that is brought to your attention. Or there's so many different ways that someone, a loved one that passes on, tries to reach an individual. Sometimes they try to communicate through a dream. I've had experiences like that. Sometimes it is just a synchronistic situation where maybe you are in a place and it has a certain feel to it, and a memory pops back into your mind about a very special moment that you shared with a relative, and that can be a communication with someone from the other side. It's as varied as there are individuals on this planet.
Okay, and does she know what's going on? Does she see everything that's going on down here?
I think she sees what she wants to see. Stop and think of yourself. Stop and think of yourself, Elaine. As an individual, how much do you think you see every day?
Well, I don't
know. Stop and think of yourself. You see what you typically give your attention to, don't you?
Yes.
So look at that the same way. People are people. When they pass over, they're very much the same as they were when they were here. So wherever you put your focus and your attention, that's what you see.
Okay, and is she able to hear me when I talk with her?
I think she does. But there may be times that she may not hear you. She might be occupied with something else. So I think, Elaine, with you, one, you need to make it okay that your mom has passed on. And I know that's not always easy to do when someone we love that we no longer have physical access to is there for us to hold or to hug, to talk to physically. But if you talk to her, you're still communicating, and I still think she gets the message.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there will be a time when you will be able to recognize that she's letting you know that things are going to be okay. It's amazing. I just cannot put it into a box for you. I cannot. I've been in the work of mind for so many years, and I've seen so many variables. I just am not able to do it. And I can't do it for you. So the only thing I can tell you is be open and be receptive to just about anything coming your way where she will let you know that things are okay.
Okay, and also I read a book by Hello from Heaven by Judy Guggenheim. Have you ever heard of that book?
I've heard of it. Yes, I have.
And I found it really comforting, and it mentions Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. She's passed on now.
Mm-hmm. And yes, in fact, the gentleman I interviewed yesterday, Mr. Ronald Russell, spoke about Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. She was a wonderful woman, and she really, I think, made a big, big step forward in the very environment of thinking of people. You know, we're all going to pass away sometime, every single one of us.
That's right.
Our chassis only lasts for so long. A friend of mine used to say, you know what, Donna, when it comes time, I'm going to be ready to go, because she said, I'm really ready to give up this chassis I have. And that sweetheart of a lady, she was in her 80s at the time. I'm going to have to go, dear. It's time for a break.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Elaine. Be at peace with yourself, hon, and know all is well with your mom.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are open, 877-8765-227. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't you go away.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are open, 877-876-5227, Canadians 888-815-9756. Now, I know we've got a caller on the line, but quickly, before I go to the caller, I want to let you know, for those of you in the state of Washington, I'm going to be at the Boeing Parapsychology Expo in Kent, Washington, this coming Saturday. I'm going to be there for the full-day event. Wonderful activity. I'll be doing many consultations. I'm going to have books with me. So we're going to have just a great time. It's a wonderful family event, and it's going to be held in Kent. Now, what I want you to do is go to their website, BEPC, B like boy, E like Edward, P like Paul, C like Charlie, .com. And you can just put that in, and you can Google it, and it'll pop right up, the Boeing Parapsychology Expo. It'll have directions for you, times. It'll have all the information that you need. I'm in booth 6060, and I look forward to seeing you there. So do come along. It's a fabulous, fabulous event. All right, this is Donna Sebo. I want to welcome you to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from? Hello, caller. Oh, well, I think we might have lost our caller. All right, well, we're waiting for that. If you wanted to call in, 877-876-5227, Canadians 888-815-9756. Now, in my October newsletter that's going to be coming out next week, I will be listing all of the locations where I'm going to be appearing. I am going to be in New York. I'm going to be in Southern California. I'm going to be in Alaska. So you'll be able to get to all of that in the newsletter. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hi. It's nice to talk with you.
Well, thank you so much. What's your first name, Darren? Where are you calling from?
Molly from Riverside.
Riverside. I hope to be down in your neck of the woods pretty soon. I like Riverside. My gracious, how that place has changed.
Well, we'll welcome you.
Well, thank you, Molly. Molly, the first thing that is coming into my mind when I'm focusing on you is a sense, it's like I'm getting a group of emotions. One, there's a sense of sadness. Two, there's like, I think I want to cry, but not really. And three, then there's this tremendous relief. And then I'm also looking at a sense of freedom. All of these emotions seem to be occurring simultaneously, which in my mind's view indicates to me a major transformation in your life. And as I'm watching you evolving through this, the only thing I want to say is be at ease with all of these emotions, because each and every one of them, though they seem to be occurring together like a hodgepodge, they're not really. It's okay. Each and every one of these components of emotion have their value. And it's like, okay, make it feel the way it feels. And then when you're able to release, you just release and you're okay. It's like you come out of what I describe almost like an emotional fog. And it doesn't last very long. But it's an amazing experience. And when you come out of that foggy-like distortion, you're going to say, wow, I'm so glad I went through it, and I don't have to go through it again, and I'm now ready to make my choices about my new direction. I really think you are getting on track with a whole new level of choice and direction in your life starting at the end of October. For some reason in your life, fall is a very significant period. A very significant period. So you need to just realize that this is your time just to go through what you're going through, and it's not going to last very much longer, and you're just going to start a brand new direction of your own and feel good about the process, and you're going to hold true to it and achieve what you're aiming for. What's on your mind, Dave? What did you want to ask me today, Molly?
Well, I have this project that I'm working on with someone else, and I'm waiting for them to give me the thumbs up on the go-ahead, and he's in charge of an organization that he represents that I want to work with. Do you see that materializing anytime soon?
What is soon in your mind? I'm looking at word coming down within 2 weeks. What is soon?
That would be perfect. I mean, however it happens would be perfect.
All right. Well, I think within 2 weeks you're going to get the word on this. And I'll tell you right now, there may be some suggestions or comments that when you hear them, you go, good grief, where did that come from? We discussed this, blah, 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 blah. Check your emotions and your response patterns and instead, come back after you listen carefully, and if you have to, have them repeat again. Make sure you're understanding what they're wanting to have clarification on. And instead of thinking to yourself, well, you might think to yourself, and instead of saying, my goodness, we already covered that, I just don't understand it, say, okay, how can I make this more clear for you? What do you feel you really need from me that's lacking? And come from that positioning.
Okay.
And what will happen is they'll say, well, it's really not that big a deal. I just need clarity on X, not Y and Z. And so it may just be a little tiny bit of something, but you need to have the clarity of exactly what it is that they may require additionally. And that'll take care of it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Well, Molly, it's a delight talking with you. Thank you for calling in. And you have a fabulous day.
I love listening to your show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure chatting with you. This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, we are out of time. Wow, it goes by so fast when you're having fun. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with Daryl Hickman, a very famous actor. You may be aware of his brother, Dwayne Hickman, that played Dobie Gillis many years ago. But Daryl has done something that not many people do when they're in the acting field. He's developed a system for acting. We're going to be talking about his wonderful book, The Unconscious Actor. So we're going to have him as a guest. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Siebel. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Life is waiting for you now. Right now. Take charge. Write your own script. It's a good day to do it. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.